I'm going to share with you some meat out of the Word. You guys want some meat? Okay, there's milk and there's meat. Sometimes we share a little bit of both. I don't know about you guys, when I partake of a meal, a lot of times you'll do a little of both, right? You don't just eat steak. Steak and potatoes, right? Last night, steak, potatoes, corn on the cob, and grilling beans. Okay, now to me, that's a meal. It's good stuff, but praise God. Let's get in and see what God has for us today. I think it's a full course meal as well, so I think you'll be blessed, and we'll get into it. We're going to talk today at the Oasis. We're going to talk about the real battle. You know, sometimes we forget about the real battle. We look at what's right in front of us, and we think, this is the issue. I've got to tackle this. I've got to get through this, and we're looking right in front of us, and we're not looking at what's behind what's causing that problem or what's behind the scenes. And I know I've talked about things that are out there, the unseen realm, and some of that, we'll deal with some of that. And I really want to talk about the real battle, and I believe it's a two-parter. I had way more notes than we're going to get through today, so I think next week we'll finish up on the other part. Praise God. Don't want to keep the mothers here all day on Mother's Day, right? Unless you'd like that, but praise God. So today at the Oasis, we're going to talk about the real battle. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We lift up Jesus. We exalt you. Because you are the Son of God, you're the living one, Father, the one who was born and lived and died and rose from the dead for our victory, the one that gave us, that changed the eternity for us, Father, the one that has made it possible for us to be with you, that has lifted our hearts and changed us from the inside out. You're the one that has done these things, Lord. We give you the praise for it. Today we pray that you open your scriptures, Lord. Open it wide open that we can see deeply into it, something that we didn't see before, and let you minister unto us and use your word to shape us, to guide us, to encourage us, to give us better understanding and a knowledge of Jesus Christ, of the enemy that has come against us, and the life that we then live out, knowing what we know. Father, we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's talk about the real battle. So I'm going to give you something that I believe it'll give you some, eventually, it might raise some hair on the back of your neck to start with, okay? But eventually, you'll understand the freedom that it can bring and the peace that it can bring into a Christian's life. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, that we've been accepted by God, we're living under grace, that we live under this unmerited favor, we didn't earn our position with God, we simply believed on what he did, and he gave it to us. That we now live as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We put on that robe of righteousness. We live in Christ now. So this is going to be something that I think, since we talk about that quite a bit, that this will help to open that door up to help us to step forward, to kind of progress in our walk a little bit further, to be able to be set free from some of the hindrances, some of the things that might hold us back in our walk, things that maybe we've tried to overcome, but it's like still a hang-up. It's still something that we just have never really gotten freedom in that particular area. Something that we know that God wants us to do more or do different things or whatever, but we're not able for whatever reason. Sometimes, I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but sometimes you think of yourself, you know, you're just in a cranky mood and you just don't know why. You know, so what's the matter? I don't know. Nothing, you know. No, something's the matter. You ever have that conversation? No, something's the matter because you're cranky as all get out. No, it's nothing. You know, but they don't really understand what it is. Okay, hopefully you're going to get some insight into that today. You know that we are no longer a sinner. We're a saint in God. We're a saint in light, the Bible calls us, and a saint in God. I want to show you a couple of scriptures on that. If you remember when the Apostle Paul began his letter to the Romans, okay, one of the first things in Romans 1:7, as he's speaking to the body of Christ, he's speaking to Christians, he says this. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's speaking unto saints. Okay, now that's why I say some people still see themselves as a sinner. That, man, I'm just no good, I'm evil, I've got this wickedness in me, all these things. Okay, now sometimes we do engage in wicked things or naughty things or bad things or evil things. Sometimes we do that, but at the core, by faith in Christ, we have been made right with God, and that made us into that category. It put us into the sainthood. Look at another one in Colossians. Again, the Apostle Paul starts out his letter. He's writing to Christians. He says, I'm giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light. Okay, this is who are we are. Who, and he's saying he's giving thanks unto the Father. And then verse 13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's just that faith move. That's that one day I'm going this direction. Next day by faith, I put my faith and trust in him. I'm going the other direction. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son by delivering us from the power of darkness. So we know that God has set us up to live in freedom from the power of darkness. That was his plan. That's what he wanted us to do. And yet, the power of darkness seems to prevail in the body of Christ. Okay, a lot of believers today are still being held in parts of this darkness. People are lying to their spouse. Okay, people are stealing from their employers. People are gossiping about somebody, a friend or acquaintance. People still explode in anger. People still look at things they shouldn't. People still do things on and on and on. The power of darkness, you know, you fill in the blank, whatever it is you've struggled with, the power of darkness still exhibits itself frequently through the body of Christ. I mean, through Christians, right? And yet we're called to be saints. We are called saints. And yet we're still exhibiting some of the power of darkness, or we're letting those things come through our life. And I think our walk with God can get very frustrating if we see ourselves doing something that we know that we shouldn't. We realize how often we're actually led astray. We realize that I slipped again, I did it again, and we get kind of frustrated with that because we feel powerless to overcome that. Like, we've tried. We know better. We don't want to do that, but yet we still fall into that. It can get kind of frustrating in those areas. We never seem to see victory in those areas. Last week, we talked about repentance. Anybody was here for that? Remember, we talked about true repentance, kind of straightening out our course, getting back on track, you know, and that's what we're doing. Is we're going off, and I did it again, and oh, I'm going to adjust my course and get back on track, go back the right direction again. Okay, but frustration can occur if we keep stumbling in the same area, and we never seem to stay on course for very long. You might even get down on yourself and, you know, say something to yourself like, I don't know why I am this way. I don't understand. I get frustrated with myself. And you might think, you know, Pastor Gary's saying I'm a saint, but I don't live like a saint for very long at a time. You know, it seems like I go a day. I might go an hour. But then all of a sudden, something happens, and I'm back in the swing of it. So you're asking yourself, what's wrong with me? Well, some of the battle, even we mentioned last week, some of the battle is with our flesh. Okay? And we don't want to be making provision for the flesh. I mentioned that last week, where we're setting ourselves up to fail. Okay, if you have a pornography addiction and yet you keep your collection in the closet somewhere at your house, you know, you're setting yourself up to fail. Get rid of that stuff. Make no provision for the flesh. Okay, get that out of there. If you, have a thing with ice cream, let's say, and you you can't sit down and just eat a little bowl of ice cream. You got to eat the whole quart, right? And then we go over to your house and we open your freezer and you've got 25 quarts of your favorite ice cream in there, okay? You're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for a lot of negative things that can come out of that, right? You're making provision for your flesh. But what about when we have kind of eliminated a lot of the provision for the flesh? We've narrowed it down. We understand we've got a weakness or have suffered in that area for whatever reason. And we start eliminating as much of that provision of the flesh as we can. And yet, it seems that there's still times that we're still overtaken by something. We're still compelled to do it. Even though we know we shouldn't, we still engage in it anyway. It's like, at times, it almost feels like we're pushed into it. Okay, I know I shouldn't, you know, go blow this money on this, but I just feel like I just have to. And you just step into it and you do that anyway. Okay, you guys can kind of think maybe of some examples in your own life where there's something that, you know, you're right on the edge of it. You know that I shouldn't, and yet it's you just step over and you do it anyway. So we have to understand that the nature of the battle that we're in. Okay, the real battle, like the title of this message, is much more than just what we can see with our eyes. Okay, it's much more than that. The spiritual realm is just as real as the spoon you're eating all that ice cream with. Okay, it's real. Okay, that's just as real as that spiritual realm. Can there be a spirit of addiction related to ice cream? I think absolutely. Can there be a spirit behind some of the compulsions, some of the things that are leading you or pushing you to do something, can it be a spiritual nature, a spirit behind that? Okay, Jesus cast out spirits. We're not going to deal with so much of that today, but he addressed it. You know, one was throwing kids into the fire, if you remember that. And Jesus commanded that spirit out, and it threw the kid down on the ground, and everybody thought he was dead. And Jesus went down and touched him. He got up. He was fine. Finally in his right mind. Finally not doing that. So there were spirits that were behind some of that stuff. And that's where Jesus was able to set them free. So we have to understand that spiritual battle that's going on behind there. So what do we deal with? Okay? What do we wrestle with? Okay, you guys know what it says. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says we wrestle with the devil. We wrestle with his army of demonic forces and principalities and things that are going on behind there. 6:11 and 6:12 out of Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes, the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I'm going to go through and define each of those this week. Maybe next week we'll get into that. But there's some spiritual forces anywhere you go that you can pick up on. Now, when we travel and we went up to Billings and doing different things, I mean, we pick up, Margie especially, I think, is very sensitive to spiritual things, probably more so than I, which is disheartening as a pastor. But still, that's why God put us together, right? So that you can pick up and sense things spiritually about things, places, people, about situations or a community, about a whatever. Okay, there was somebody that wanted to come speak in our church one time not too long ago, and you know, I kind of had interacted with the person a little bit, and I didn't think too much. I thought, yeah, there's something a little bit funny there. I'm just not quite sure what it is. Margie picked up and said, no, we don't want that guy in our church. I'm like, why? She goes, I just know. Okay, and I've learned to trust her on that because she's really accurate with that knowing inside, and that's a spiritual discernment. God has gifted her with that. It's one of the gifts, right? It's a gift of the Spirit, spiritual discernment. So we can understand that, and we all have that capacity to discern in the spiritual realm, to be able to see what's going on behind the scenes. When somebody is very spiteful, vengeful, hurtful, there's a spirit behind that. I guarantee it, because God didn't create us to be that way. He created us to be relational. Okay, and so when there's something that's moving through somebody and compels them to hurt you, okay, there's a spiritual thing going on behind the scene that is causing that to happen. Okay, like I said, you know, some of this might be new information. Maybe you've never thought about the spirits, okay, and dealing with demons and angels and the things going on, but it's just as real. If you read your Bible, it's all throughout there, beginning to end. All these things are in there. So we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So often the temptations, the things that we're drawn after, the problems that we encounter are being influenced by forces that we can't see with our eyes. Okay, you know, we think of things in the natural, yeah, it rains, you're going to get wet kind of thing. There's some natural things, but there's some that is behind the scene. There's some definite things that go on. Not everything is a demon, right? Okay, if I have a problem, let's say my hands get cold because I was out throwing snowballs with no gloves on. Okay, that's not a demon that made my hands cold. You understand that? Not everything is. Some things are natural. There is a natural consequence for the things that we do. But there could be some very, very serious spiritual things going on behind the scene, and that's what I'm trying to get at. So often the things that draw us after it, there's a spiritual spirit behind that. Why are you drawn to a particular type of person, for example, that you know is unhealthy for you? Okay, you know that I've been in this situation before. This is the same kind of thing. What compels me to get into that kind of a relationship? Okay, there's a spiritual thing that has happened. Some of it is experience, natural consequence. I've experienced things with that kind of a person, and some of it was good. But all the bad seems to be pushed aside, and I forget that. What is it that makes a person do that? There's a spirit that goes along with that. Spirits of rejection, spirits of wounds and things that have happened. Okay, what is it that compels us to hang on to an addiction? Okay, we know it. Okay, I mean, if certain things, I don't mean to pick on it. I'm not picking on anybody or anything, just an example. But for years, the whole campaign against smoking was to tell you how bad it is for you, right? Okay, does anybody think smoking is healthy for you? Probably not. Okay, it's just one of those things that has been bombarded for years. excellent campaign to try to snuff out that lung cancer stuff and the societies, the different groups that came out against that, because it helps people understand the natural consequence for that kind of a thing. But what compels somebody then? What keeps them tied into it? Okay, there's some physical addiction, but there's a mental addiction, and there's a spiritual addiction. There's a spirit that can attach to somebody. I think next week I'll share some more of my testimony of things of being delivered from that. Actually, let me do it right now. Okay, when I was a young believer, I was a Christian, right? I had given my life to Christ. And I was still, I had come out of the drug, drinking, smoking, chewing, whole bunch of stuff world. And I went to this church, and I had gone to this church, and I just kind of hid my addictions. Okay, just kind of kept it hidden because the pastor there wasn't really, he didn't know a lot about spiritual warfare and dealing with the spirits behind things. And so I just kind of hid it and got through with it for a year and a half or something like that. Then I went to a different community. I moved to Rapid City, and I met this friend at work, and she said, "Oh, you're struggling with addictions. You should come meet my pastor. He does this thing called deliverance, and you can actually cast out a spirit of addiction, and you could be free from that." Okay, so we did. And we got a late lunch break or an afternoon break at like 2:45. We ran over to his office, and sure enough, here he was in the office doing deliverance or sharing with somebody counseling and ministry and deliverance with a young man that had a lot of addictions. He had come out of a homosexual background and had all kinds of drug and heroin and all kinds of back addictions, and he was there doing deliverance. And at that point, I still wasn't quite ready to give up some of that stuff. I mean, it's still kind of a hang-up, you know? I mean, what are you going to do? I didn't know how to live sober necessarily all the time. And so at that point, I wasn't sure what to do. So I went on with life. I think it wasn't much long after that, a week or two later. I had a roommate, and we had moved to Rapid City together. We were best friends and good friends, and we did drugs together. Okay, the night before, we went into work the next morning, and they popped us with a drug test. Have I ever told this? I don't think some of you have ever heard this before. So we got popped with a drug test. That was like on a Thursday morning. Okay, I went home and I got on my knees and I pleaded with God, and because I was going to lose my career. Everything was going down the tube at that point. Okay, I'd been hiding it for a long time, and it was all going to be exposed in that moment. And I knew we had used the night before. There's no way. Okay, so I got on my knees and I prayed, and I said, "Father God, if you get me through this, I kid you not, I will get that spirit cast out. I will never do this again." We went in on Friday. My roommate got fired, and I got to stay on. They said, "Gary, yours came back clean." And my roommate was so mad. But he was not a Christian either, and he did not understand it. But I gave the glory to God. I said, you know, his name was Wynn. I said, "Wynn, I prayed. I give the glory to God. I believe he got me through that." So the next Saturday was the day after that. I took all my paraphernalia, all the drug stuff, anything I had, and destroyed it. I put most of it into a paper bag with some rocks. I went out in the yard and got rocks, taped it up with duct tape, and threw it to the Pactola Reservoir, which is 300 feet deep. Make sure nobody ever touched that stuff. I didn't want anybody else to, you know, get it into their hands. And just to get rid of all that stuff. The next day was Sunday. Okay, I had to work that Sunday morning, but Sunday night I went to church, and after church I told this pastor, I said, "Pastor John, I'm ready. I want the spirit out." And so we went into an office. He goes, "Come with me." Went into an office and cast out a spirit of addiction. And I never smoked, drank, chewed, did drugs, any of that stuff again after that. Okay, it was a spirit. And I told it, and he told me and explained it to me that it's something that's inside of you. It's like it's part of you right now. Let's cast it out. Let's get it on the outside. He said, "Gary, it's going to come at you. It's going to try to tempt you back. You're going to want to at times be thinking about it. It's going to try to come in. The devil will send people into your life to say, 'Hey, here, try this.' You're going to have all these things." But he said, "Once it's out, you will see an ability to be able to resist against that like you have never seen before." And I believed him. And it happened exactly the way that he said. Absolutely, I was bombarded and tempted and all that stuff came at me. But it was like it was out here. It was like it was at arm's length. And I'm like, "No, I see you for what you are. I'm going this way." Okay, and it was on the outside. So that's part of what happened with that. It's the ability to be able to deal with things in a different way, in a different light. Okay, so why are we drawn to particular people? Why do we are we compelled to hang on to an addiction that we know is not right or good for us? Why can't we seem to get along with coworkers at work? Why do we jump from job to job? Everything just seems to go south. Every job we get, it goes bad, and you know, we move on to another one. There's a spiritual atmosphere, spiritual things that go on behind the scenes. We have to understand the real battle and blame the real culprit. Okay? Now, and this is where the freedom comes from, because you can get down on yourself if you start examining and looking at all your faults and thinking, man, I'm just bad, I got all these things. But when you realize there's something stronger than you that is binding you up and keeping that part of your life, you can see it for what it is and begin to put the blame where the blame is. And then I get to live in righteousness, because that's not who I am. Okay, that was that demonic force. That was that thing coming against my life. The Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted to a point that is above that which you are able to withstand. So where does that extra temptation, where does that extra push come from? Okay, I've been explaining it. Where does that come from? Okay, we are led and driven by the spiritual realm that we live in. So often, more than we give credit, we're driven or led by the spiritual realm that we're a part of. Anybody think Jesus was spiritual? Okay, did Jesus live and walk in the spiritual realm? More than any of us, man, that guy, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it sometimes, to be able to walk down through a community and see in the spiritual realm all the stuff that was against him. Can you imagine? Okay, oh, that would be something. Be able to see, of course, you got to see good things too, right? You got to see angels. He knew God had thousands of angels right there ready to destroy at a moment if he asked him to. He could see that as well. Okay, but if you remember, even when Jesus first received his blessing of God and he was baptized in the Jordan River, and God bellows out from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And immediately he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, right? You remember that scene? I didn't really read that. Well, yeah, I did read that. Let's read this in Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of this. This is Jesus. I want you to think of this. This is Jesus engaging in this battle that I'm talking about. This is exactly what happens. So verse 4:1 in Matthew, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Isn't that funny? That the Spirit would lead you into a place to be tempted. I'm going to explain why he does that. And verse 2 says, when he had fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he says to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. And he says unto him, all these things will I give to thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then Jesus says unto him, get thee hence, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Okay, and in one scene here, both the demonic realm, first it's the spiritual, Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness, then he engages in a battle with the enemy, with the demonic realm, and then at the end, the holy angels come and minister unto Jesus again. Okay, you can see that, and that will happen in your walk with God as well. Notice that God didn't lead Jesus away from the battle. Okay, some of us want, God, just deliver me, get me out of here, I don't want to deal with this. God doesn't always lead us away from the battle, but he will strengthen you to win in that battle. He will be there himself. Remember, the battle belongs to the Lord, right? Okay, but so God's not afraid of a battle with the enemy. Was God afraid that Jesus was going to give in? No, because God was in Jesus, right? Okay, and so he knew that he wasn't going to struggle with that, so he was okay to lead him into that. But he empowered Jesus for that victory, and then Jesus put the devil in his place. Said, get behind me, okay? Get hence, okay? Get behind me. There's other references where Jesus will use that get behind me thing, but here he said, get hence, devil, Satan, get hence. Get out of my way. And he put him in his place. Okay, now that's part of the Christian believing life, okay? God will not always lead us away from a battle, but he will actually lead us to that, but then empower us to have victory in that battle, and then tell us, just tell the devil to get out of your way. Use the authority that God has given you as a Christian believer. Okay, the way that Mark wrote this account of this experience, he literally says that Jesus was driven by the Spirit instead of being led. Mark 1, 11 and 13 through 13, it says, "There came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." Okay, so when you are enticed to engage in things that are not godly, you don't need to get down on yourself. Okay, you're enticed, you're tempted, you're led away by things. You don't have to get down on yourself. You don't have to begin to see yourself as, oh, I'm so evil, I'm so wicked. Okay, you don't have to do that, but put the blame where it belongs. You have an adversary that is evil. You have an adversary that is wicked, and that he's going to try to entice you and lead you away. He thrives on drawing you away from God. Even Jesus was tempted by the devil to turn away from God, right? He was tempted to think that something other than God could satisfy that hunger that he had inside. The devil was tempting him to do that, okay? He was tempted to worship something other than God. Okay, the devil was tempted to worship something other than God and to get caught up in all that the world has to offer. But notice who was behind the temptations. Okay, who was behind that? It was the devil himself. It says Satan and named him by name in this one. But it said that that's who was behind those temptations. So just to be tempted is not, you know, you don't have to get down on yourself and think that you're a bad person because that happened. Now know, though, that there is a blessing in the victory when we overcome a temptation. Okay, so now, just like Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and then he sends him out to be tempted to prove that when he got through that, then he was blessed again. His ministry boomed after this, right? This was the beginning of it. This is what God was doing with him. Look at a scripture in James 1:12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Okay, blessed is he that endures temptation and is tried or makes it through, tries it and comes out on the other side. But know, though, that just because the devil places a temptation into your path, you don't have to take it. You don't have to engage in it just because it's put there. Okay, now we know that there's temptations are going to come and things are going to be laid out in front of us. We don't have to take it just because it's laid out there. Okay, that's not what grace means. That's not why we're able to do things and not still go to hell. But look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Who's going to get you through it? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape so that you'll be able to bear it. God knows what your weaknesses are, right? He knows if you have a weakness for lust, or you have a weakness for gossiping with your mouth, you have a weakness for tobacco, you have a weakness for ice cream, you have a weakness for whatever it is. Okay, God knows what that is. So never feel compelled to give in just because it's put in front of you. There is always a way out. God will never allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. It may involve putting the devil in his place, just like Jesus did. Okay, it may involve, the devil was offering Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. Okay, and rather than Jesus stopping to think about it, or I wonder, maybe, he didn't do any of that. He just said, get hence. He told him to get out of his way, right? Stop throwing this stuff at me. And he actually put him in his place. Okay, we're told in the book of Ephesians not to give place to the devil. So we don't want to accept the devil's perversions. We don't want to accept his lies. We don't want to make that as normal. Okay, it's not normal to feel some of the things that you feel. It's not normal to explode in anger or to be depressed or to have a sickness or different things in your life all the time. That's not normal. But sometimes we allow that. The addictions, all these things, we think, well, it's just the way it is. It's just the way I am. And we've allowed and accepted to me that is giving place to the devil. And it says in Ephesians, do not give place to the devil. Don't accept his ways as being okay or being the way that it is. We don't want to allow them to be normal. Okay? We don't want to believe what his lies are to us about what this life is all about. Why? Because if we don't see him for who he is, if we don't see him as a tempter and as an accuser of the brethren, if we don't see what he is doing, especially in these days that we live in now, it's getting more and more, it's getting more intense, especially in these days, if we don't see that and acknowledge it for what it is, we're going to stumble, or even worse. People are going to be drawn away. Great men of God are giving over unto seducing spirits right now in the body of Christ. People are giving in to things because, well, it's okay. The big thing at this conference, one of the things that we went to in Billings, but they talked about the grave sucking that's going on, where people are, they've accepted this as normal to go and to lay on the grave of a dead Christian and be able to somehow suck their anointing out of their bones. Okay, now there's a, I know what scriptures they use to do all this. It's weird, right? It's just strange stuff. But it is thriving in certain churches in our community. Not in our community, but in our country. People are like, this is great. We all got to do this. You should do this too. And they're promoting this, okay? That's a seduction. It's a strangeness of the devil. He has got something into the body and deceived some leaders that were able to deceive others that this is the direction we should go and we should be involved in that, okay? We don't want to do that. We don't want to stumble or give up any part of our salvation. The devil can't take it from you, but you don't want to be giving up things to him. 1 Peter 5:8, let me close this up. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, as a roaring lion, okay? The lion doesn't always care if people know that he's there. He's going to do some stalk and some self stuff. But his roar is often so scary that it would paralyze a rabbit. Okay, it would paralyze whatever, well, I don't know if lions eat rabbits, but you know what I'm talking about. It would paralyze the prey. Roar! Have you ever had that? Man, some of you know I work for UPS, and we do a lot of delivery in places that have dogs, right? And I'll tell you, a little yap, 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 dog, no big deal. But when I hear that, I turn around, I'm walking away from the house, and I hear, woof, 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 just paralyzed. I mean, it's just gripping, because you just imagine this giant 8-foot pit bull coming at you or whatever, you know. And so, you know, it's the roar of that lion. Now, he's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to paralyze you with fear. Okay, to get you gripped up that you're just going to sit there and let him devour you. Okay, that's what he wants to do. He's seeking whom he can devour. Who can he threaten? Who can he scare into just stopping and not doing anything? Because then he's going to devour them, right? Okay, the devil and his army, his demonic forces want to devour you. They want to consume your life. They want to destroy you until nothing is left. That's what devour means. Eat up entirely, right? Maybe they'll do it slowly. They'll just chip away at you. Kind of put a little more on you, a little bit more. Try to chip away at you until you're slowly consumed. You know, if they can get just a, you know, maybe you'll take on just a little bit more here and a little bit more there that's not godly. Maybe you'll just compromise in this area for a little bit. And then maybe this area is not so bad either, and you begin to compromise in your walk. Pretty soon you're just overtaken with ungodliness, and the fruits of the Spirit and the holiness of God is nowhere to be found anymore. Your life has gone from this great man or woman of God down to, you know, yeah, I'm still going to heaven, but I'm not impacting. I'm not making that same dent in the devil's kingdom. What the devil does not want you to know today, what you really ought to take away from this message, is that Jesus Christ not only has authority over demons, he not only has authority in the spiritual realm, but he has given that same authority to you, so that you can, whatsoever is bound in heaven, or bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. The scriptures, Jesus said these things. He said that was the key to the kingdom of God, is knowing that. That with what you do, what you say, you can engage and unlock the spiritual realm and do things in there that have never that you may have never seen or acknowledged before. You can actually do something about the forces of darkness that are coming against your life. Okay, you can do something about that by speaking with your mouth, putting a stop to it. Okay, look at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils, demons is what that is. Most Bibles, if it's not a King James, it'll say demons right there. So he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And then he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, to go out in the name of Jesus and do these kinds of things. God's intention is that you walk in victory, that you get victory in those areas. Those forces that are coming against you, maybe have you bound up. He wants you to get victory in those areas, and he has empowered you to take authority over the spiritual forces that are coming against your life, to be able to stand strong, having all the armor of God, okay, using your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? You speak to things, you can speak it, okay? Look at Luke 10:17. It says, and the 70, so it wasn't just the 12 that he empowered, I want you to see that. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. They were amazed at this, right? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus has empowered you and I to walk with authority in the spiritual realm so that we can get victory. When we don't see it, when we don't acknowledge that that's what's behind the scene, we'll live with it our whole life. But when you begin to see what's behind there and say, there's a spiritual force coming at me that's behind this, trying to pull me back into it, we can begin to address that because he gave us authority in that demonic realm or in that spiritual realm. You can also have some authority over angels too. That's a powerful thing to get into your head too. Okay, Jesus had done that. Maybe we'll talk more on that next week. Okay, even these guys, these believers, that Jesus had plainly told them that they had authority over the spirits, were pretty amazed as they walked in their Christ-empowered authority. Even the devils are subject unto us through your name, Lord. They were kind of amazed at it. And I believe you're going to be amazed at the freedom that's available for a child of God. You'll be amazed at the freedom that you can walk in because of the authority that God has given to you. Okay, walking in what is available in Christ's name. You know, a lot of Christians today are not walking in their authority to the full extent. Many are not walking in their authority at all. They've never once engaged and told the devil what to do, told the demon to leave me alone, told an addiction, told a spirit, told a sickness, told whatever, get away from me. Okay? You can do that. You can command it to go, to leave, to flee, and it has to because you have the authority that Jesus has given you. Okay? Now, you don't do it in I don't want to jump ahead too much, but there's things maybe next week we'll talk about more of the practical stuff of doing that. What happens? Because the people are like, I don't want to tell a devil to get away. They'll bring back 7 friends. I'll be worse than I was in the beginning. Not if you're a believer. Okay? Just get that into your head right now. Not if you're a Christian believer. That house was swept empty, and they were able to bring back worse than the beginning. And the guy that, actually, when they leaped on him, that guy wasn't a believer, and that's where his problem started out. Okay, but God's intention is that you walk in victory. You will encounter demonic forces every single day. They're going to come against you. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle with that all day long. Demons are going to speak through people. They're going to try to persuade you into doing something. They're going to try to persuade you in a wrong direction that's not healthy. Maybe it's just downright rebellious against God. Just like the devil spoke through Peter, remember? Said, Lord, let it not be so. You know, you don't need to go and hang on that cross. You don't need to go and die for us. And he was trying to divert the absolute plan of God. And you remember what Jesus did? He said, get behind me, Satan. You know, he told him what to do. He spoke to him and put him in his place. He wasn't speaking to Peter. He was speaking to a spirit that was speaking through him. And it could be like the devil that tempted Jesus to throw it all away, to follow after him. Okay, his army, devil's army, is constantly on the attack trying to get you to fall away or to draw back from God, to try to lead you astray in some way. But we are to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's scripture. We can cling to that. God said, I will resist you and you will flee from me. Done. Okay, that's God's way. Next week we're going to get in, like I said, some of the more practical insight into walking in your God-given authority. Some ways that you can actually have victory and conquer some of these things in your life, that you understand the forces that are going on. Now you're getting that almost the goosebump feeling, you know, that man, there's something out there. Okay, now we need to know, how do we address that? What do we do about it? How do we combat that? You're going to use your mouth, and we're going to deal with it and get some freedom from it. But we'll get into more of that next week, getting on in time. So praise God. Father, we praise you this morning. I'm grateful for your word, Lord. You show us some things. Lord, I said it was meat. Lord, I believe it's deep stuff. I think it's heavy, Lord, the things that you show us. But Father, it's powerful. When we get it inside and we understand it, when we live and walk and acknowledge the spiritual realm that you are in, that we begin to see and discern the spiritual atmosphere as we walk in the Spirit, not according to our flesh, as we are governed by you, Lord, as we listen to you, as we're led by you, as we're even driven by you, Father, and that we see the forces that are trying to come against us, we are not led and driven by them, but by you and yours, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to see that, experience it. Open our eyes this week, Lord, that we can see into that spiritual realm, that we can see things like we've never seen it before, that we may walk as Jesus walked, to be able to understand the forces, the things that are coming through people. He didn't, when Peter came at him, he didn't jump all over Peter. He saw it for what it was and addressed that spirit. And Father, I thank you that you've given us that same discernment, that you have empowered us, given us that same victory, given us that same authority, that we can walk as Jesus walked, that we can walk like you walk here on earth. Father, we praise you. We thank you again for this day, Lord. Thank you for the love that you poured out towards us through Jesus. Thank you for eternal life, salvation. Thank you for the gift of grace, Father, your love upon us, unearned and unmerited, Father. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God is a good God, very, very awesome and powerful God.